are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I invite you to journey with me to a new day. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. So join thousands of women and men from around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special podcast today. You're not going to believe who you're going to be listening to today. I will tell you, she's an American actress, director, screenwriter, producer, editor, author. She was nominated for three, not one, not two, but three Academy Awards. She has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, was once married to the late Cary Grant, and I could go on and on and on. Hello, everyone. My name is Kim Crable, and welcome to Coffee, Conversations of Friends of Faith to Encourage and Equip. I know by that introduction, you've already guessed who I'm talking about. Can you believe that on today's show, we have the lovely Diane Cannon. Without any more that I want to say, I want to just bring her on. Someone who I met just a few months ago who I have learned to love endlessly. Hello, Diane, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Hello, beautiful Kim. Oh, how lovely to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my goodness. I'll never forget being on the set of a movie that you were filming in Baltimore, and someone had told me that you were around, and they said, oh, would you like to meet her? And I said, oh, no, I would never, ever interrupt her time. And because I had sent some books to you that I had written, they said, oh, but she wants you to stop by. And I was so amazed that you would want someone to interrupt your schedule. But what was so amazing, Diane, was when I walked in and you grabbed my hands and you just were so kind, so warm, and said, can we just pray together? And what that did to me was so amazing to see your faith. Let's talk about your faith today.
Well, that's where I live, Kim. I've learned through thick and thin, through ups and downs, through getting myself in circles that made me dizzy, that without having a firm understanding of my faith, you know, I think people talk a lot about faith, about getting faith. Well, how do I know there's a God? Well, how do I believe there's a God when things get tough? Well, how do I keep my faith? How do I do it? And, you know, I'll tell you how I do it, Kim. I do it through understanding. In Proverbs, it says, with all thy getting, get understanding. Because I can't believe in something just because you tell me to. I have to understand it. And so through prayer and just turning to God and saying, you know, I need to know who and what you are. I grew up in a home where my mother was Jewish, and my father was God who, and he came from a family of 12 kids, and he accepted Jesus, and the household became a war zone because the Jewish people don't. And I actually left home because of religion, because they both wanted me to. Yeah, Daddy agreed that we would be raised Jewish. But on the way to synagogue, after he was saved, we'd sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. And the rabbi didn't like that song as much as my daddy did. So I learned through understanding, through prayer, through fellowship, through so many avenues about the love of God. That's what really got me was the love of God. I'd always imagined God to be a big old guy sitting up there judging what we do, and yeah. That's not the way it is. God is a God of love. And, you know, I'm working now with recovering addicts. I work with 30 guys one week and another 30 guys the next week, and I work with them at Dream Center. And they're all heroin addicts. And to see how their lives are being changed by the love of God, it looks miraculous to the human eye. But we know that it isn't. We know that it's just the love of God that changes us from the inside out, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Diane, you lived, you know, you had... From the outside looking in, you had all the glamour, all the glitz, all the celebrity. You had, I mean, you were discovered, I read, while you were sitting on Sunset Strip. I mean, your beauty drew people in. It still does. Everything about you seems so wonderful. What was it that led you to needing Jesus in your life? How did this begin?
Well, you can't make sense out of anything in the world. At least I can't.
Right.
Even as far as food goes, one day this will be good for you, and the next day they say, no, that causes death, or this will be.
Right.
The world just doesn't make sense. You try and make sense out of nonsense, and it doesn't work.
There you go.
Just always realized that there was something bigger than me,
mm-hmm.
something greater
mm-hmm.
than me, something. Because even with my name above the title, when you star in movies and your name is above the title, that means you've reached the top.
Right.
And my name was above the titles in movies, but that dark, deep black hole kept getting deeper and darker and bigger. And I was a seeker. I've been a seeker all my life. But a seeker of what? I sought all kinds of things. But when I sought God, it was sincere. And I ran into, honestly, Kim, you know, some pitfalls. A big, huge pastor who was married impregnated one of my girlfriends, you know. And you look at that and you say, well, so the reason I share that with you is not to put a damper on people that are pastors, but to not make a God out of anything but
God. Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, how in the world did you, how bold it was for you, because Diane, I know that you couldn't, you found the faith and you found God, and I love your concept there about falling into the love of Christ, because so many times I do feel like that we see Christ as a bully in the sky almost. You it's almost like someone you fear. If I mess up, he's going to zap me, if he's just waiting. And of course we know that that's not true. And you began to get really busy about sharing your faith, I understand. Tell me about that. Is it true that you were having Bible studies on the CBS lots while you were working?
Well, no, I wasn't having Bible studies. I was having a thing that I named God's Parties.
Oh, okay.
And they were every other Saturday night. And I would teach. I had maybe 15 or 20 singers. I had a band of 15 or 20, and it got so crowded that we'd have to open the windows with people standing outside. And a lot of people accepted Christ by coming to Hollywood and coming to CBS Studios. And I did that for 11 years in the midst of my work. I did it until September 11th. And after September 11th, when the bombing happened, the public was no longer invited on the lot. They were taking mirrors and, you know, had dogs at the entrance, and it became a very tough time. So I continued them in other places for maybe another 3 or 4 years, and then God had me task it and do other things. And I have, you know, spoken, and now I just have the Bible studies at my house. And I have an amazing couple of friends that I pray with every day. Besides my prayer time, we pray for the country and the world and the government and the president and for all who are elected officials to just, you see what's going on in the world, and it needs so much prayer.
Oh, absolutely. And I know that that's something, you are a real prayer warrior. I had the honor of praying with you, and that's a calling on your life. I could tell by the intensity of the prayer. Why do you feel like prayer is so important? To those people who are listening today who think that they don't have time to pray, what would you say to them today, Diane?
Well, you know, we all have to do it in the way we're led to do it. And I wouldn't presume to tell anyone how to lead their life or what to do. I can just tell you that with my own life, I talked about it a lot in a book that I wrote called Dear Carrie. And the reason, it was on the New York Times bestseller list the first year, but 4.5 years later, it was on the New York Times list another 3 times. And that's because I didn't have a press agent. I didn't have a series. That's because people identified with it. I wound up in a nut house because I took LSD to please my husband. He felt that was the gateway to God. And so I took LSD because I wanted him to be happy. He'd had such a rough childhood. And I will tell anybody that's listening this, if you go against what you really believe in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, that's the end of it. That's the end. When you go against yourself and what you really believe in order to make someone else happy, it just doesn't work. But when I got out of the nut house, I was, because the LSD, I was a girl who didn't even take an aspirin or have a drink. But when I got out of the hospital, I just dove into the Bible, and I studied with a friend 5 hours a day for months, and then and then studied with her for about 34, 35 years. And it became a way of life. I mean, prayer for me is, I pray about everything. What does that mean? I ask for guidance. Yeah. And in my life, I can tell by the peace that accompanies my prayers. Sometimes I'll just say, okay, if you show me, you guide my footsteps. You know, in Proverbs, it says, roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly into him. And he will cause your thoughts, to become acceptable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. And a peace accompanies that. There's a peace that comes with it. And if it doesn't, then I just have to pray some more. I just have to pray some more. So, you know, I used to wake up in the middle of the night with anxiety. And I would reach for my Bible and read it, and it would lift like a veil. Because the Word of God has power with it. And it's more powerful than anything man can say or do. You mean it's more powerful than anything you can say or do? Yes, absolutely, positively. And I find that it's yielding to that, surrendering to that, that is the work. Because those of us who think we're smart, you know, we think we're pretty smart. We think we can run around smartly doing what we're supposed to do. And sometimes we can, but other times it's like a Band-Aid that doesn't stick when you start to sweat. So that's world knowledge. But God's word, prayer for me is just something I do now off and on all day long. Is this right? Last night, I went to a screening of a big, big movie with, you know, Meryl Streep was there and the head of Sony, and at a friend's house, a screening for a new movie that's out. And at a point, I just had to go into the bathroom, shut the door, and pray, because I felt myself getting sucked into something I didn't want to get sucked into. So I just went in the bathroom. I shut the door. I said, okay, God, I know that the presence of your power is here, and the power of your presence is here. And I know that you're guiding my footsteps, and I know you're guiding everyone's footsteps out there as well as mine. Mm-hmm. And so I ask for the peace that passes all understanding to guide my thoughts here and now. Mm-hmm. And it lifted off me like, you know, like it should. It lifted off. So is it always easy? No. Is life always mm-hmm. easy? No. Does prayer make it easier? Oh, my goodness, yes. Oh, my gosh, for me. I'm just talking about my experience now. I can't tell anyone how to live their life, but I can share. I can share about how to get over some of these puddles that are just filled with muck, and we just can't seem how to get around them. It's just, you know, when I was a little girl, Kim, I looked at my puppy, and I said, what's my puppy's purpose? And I thought, I don't know what my puppy's purpose is. My puppy's purpose, and it's not on the food chain, because, you know, they don't kill dogs. Uh-huh. And I thought, I don't know what it is. What is? But if I don't know my dog's purpose, what's mine? And what I have found out is that, you know something, Kim? 5,000 years from now, you and I will not give a rat poopy about what name is above the title, or about who won the Oscar, or about who was even president.
Right.
Well, they might remember that. But the point is, our purpose really is to live love. To live love. And sometimes that doesn't look like just, sometimes that looks like no.
Yes, that's
no
right.
More.
Mm-hmm.
It's not it's not just gooey wooey, just letting everybody run over us. It's not about that. That's not living love.
Right.
Living love is serving and being joyous and not letting people take our joy from us and supporting each other, helping each other, and living that love. And like I said, it's not always, you want me to do that, and I don't think I should, and so I will? Uh-uh. So understanding love is a huge thing. And I think when we understand God, when we really get an understanding of God, we start understanding what love is. What do you think, Kim?
I think you're absolutely right. I believe what you were saying there is so true, in that, you know, the true meaning of love means taking a stand. A true meaning of love is being able to know what is right and what is wrong, and to make those hard choices, like you said, and to do what's right even when everything around you feels wrong. And that is a very difficult thing to do. If love is walking away from the gossip, love is refusing to do the things that you know are not good for you and your family. And many times those around us will not understand what we're doing. But that's what I believe God calls us to do. And one thing that you said that I think is so important, that I know that our listeners are going to really take note of, is you kept saying over and over, and I just love this about you, is that, you know, I can't tell other people how to live. I can just do it myself. And, you know, that is such the scriptural stance. The Bible tells us, Paul tells us, that we are to be ambassadors of Christ. We're not to go out and try to change the world, right, Diane? We're to allow God to change us, and then we go out and we represent the change that he's making, constantly making in us, so that hopefully we become the light and the salt and the fragrance of his love, so that others are more prone. That's why so many people were coming to the lot there at CBS. They saw something different in you and wanted, were seeking that, don't you think?
I know. Listen, I had a deacon in a church there one night who said he'd been a deacon in the church for 30 years and he'd never felt God's love. And people that run around proselytizing and hallelujahs and all that are good, but by your fruit you're going to be known. By
exactly.
The prayer, you're going to be known.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
We had prayer lines at CBS that maybe 100 and 150 people after those services ended. And in prayer we saw so many people healed. Can I do that? No. I can't do that, but I can't of myself do nothing, right? But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I'll tell you what healed those people. What healed those people was the love of God. It's so simple. Whether you're saying yes or no or whatever it is, it's got to have God in it. Got to have God in it. If it doesn't, it doesn't have the power it needs. So if any of your friends that are listening are out there now, and any of you are struggling with addiction, any of you are having problems in your marriage, any of you are having problems with your kids, any of you are having problems with finances, with the belief of lack in your life, mm-hmm. I would just encourage you to just stop and take a real minute. Not while you're doing something else, but to take a real minute to say, okay, God, if you're real, if there's something real, if there's something a bigger power than me, if you're real, I need to feel it. And I need for you to let me know it because I need help right now. Mm-hmm. I need help with my kids, with my marriage, with money, with relationships, with doubt, and most of all with fear. How, God, do I control that fear in my life? How do I do that? And I promise you, if you'll just take those moments, you'll get answers. I promise you, you will. I was working in Maryland on a film set where I met with beautiful Kim. And I took a fall on the pavement. It was a bad fall. And immediately, I called the director over and said, come on, let's pray. They said, no, we're going to call an ambulance. I said, no, back off. Back off. Let's pray. Right now, let's pray.
Mm.
And we prayed. And people were saying, oh, gosh, it's broken. Oh, this or that. And I just stood up and I walked around the table, went to the hide. They wanted to take me to the hospital that night. I said, no, I need a night to pray. And I know you prayed for me, Kim.
Yes, we did.
And next morning I went to the hospital because you have to do that when you fall working on a set for their insurance and everything. And I went and I hadn't broken anything. And in God's name, I finished that film. I could hardly walk, but God's strength. You mean God gave you strength? That's exactly what I mean. I couldn't walk on my own. Through the strength of God, I was able to finish that film. It's not just words. It's the truth. And the Bible says, if you know the truth, capital T, the truth is going to set you free. I'm free, mama. And I remain free. And when I get caught in that, when I get caught in the muck, I know what to do. And as I said, it's not always easy. There's real struggle in life. There's real struggles. And there's real big things to meet. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And if Jesus, so this has always impressed me about Jesus. He said, I can't do it on my own. I can't do it. It's the Father. He does it. Really? Jesus said that? Yeah. So I think he tried to show us how to have a relationship with God.
Yes.
I can do nothing of myself, but I can do all things through Christ. See, it was Jesus, the Christ. Jesus, the Anointed. Kim, the Anointed. Diane, the Anointed. Mary, the Anointed. Paul, the Anointed. Dick, out there, the Anointed. All we have to do, guys and girls, is like a plug that's out of the socket. You plug it into the juice. You plug it into the power. Holy Mother, you mean I got that power now? That's all it
takes. That's right.
That's right. The Bible even tells us that the very power that raised Jesus from the dead now resides within us. So it's accessing that power. And I believe you're right, Diane. I believe it's through the power of prayer and sitting in God's presence. Lady, you are amazing, and we could go on forever and ever, but we promised that we would hold this to 30 minutes, and we have 4 minutes left, and you have ministered to so many people. You have called out hurts, you have called out pains, and you have called out needs. I'm wondering, could I please ask you to take a couple of minutes and now pray for those people who have leaned into your voice? Would you just take just a couple minutes to say a prayer over them as we conclude our broadcast today?
I'll tell you what I hear the Lord saying to me, to all of you out there who know him and who don't know him. And I want you to write this down because this is right from the throne room. Please hear this. You are not under penalty for anything you have or have not done. You are not under penalty for anything you have or have not done. God loves you right now just the way you are. You can't do anything more to make God love you. You can't do anything more to make God forgive you. You're forgiven. God loves you right now. Just the way you are. He's not going to love you more if you pray. He's not going to love you more because you pray. He's going to love you in spite of the fact that you don't. He's going to love you in spite of the fact that you've screwed up so many times you can't count them. He's going to love you in spite of, well, then why should we change? Because once that love gets inside, once you swallow it, and allow it and digest it, and it assimilates in the body, you're just not led to do those things anymore. That love changes us from the inside out. So please remember that you're not under penalty for anything you have or have not done. You are loved supremely by the one who made you, by the one who created you, by the one who sustains you, by the one who maintains you, by the one who just simply loves you. I pray that you hear those words, that you allow those words to resonate in and out of all you think, say, and do. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And I pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Oh, amen and amen. May I just say how much I love you and adore you and admire you. And I thank you beyond words for taking these 30 minutes to bless us and to bless the Lord with your words. And may you be blessed as you have blessed us, dear friend. I love you, and I look forward to meeting you again one day.
I'll see you in Los Angeles. God bless y'all. Have a happy day.
Bye, everybody. And for listeners, thank you again for listening to Coffee with Kim, and we'll see you next time right here. Goodbye, everybody. Be blessed.
Bye.
To learn more about Kim's books, teaching materials, or to invite Kim to speak at your event, please visit kimcrable.com. Thank you for joining us today. And remember, to learn more, please visit kimcrable.com.